Local news, local issues from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning and thanks for joining us. My guest this morning is Umatilla County Sheriff Terry Rowan. Sheriff, Oregon voters narrowly passed Measure 114, which is described as the most restrictive gun control law in the nation. It goes into effect in early December. A few sheriffs have already said they won't enforce it. What's your feeling?
You know, I echo their thoughts on the matter. And, you know, I think that there's too many prohibitions, really, for us to enforce it. And, you know, first of all, the constitutional issues that are associated with the bill, all of that stuff needs to get vetted out. You know, I think this is what's so disturbing about a bill like this, much like Measure 110, is how it's framed. And I said long before this show and long before Election Day that the bill was flawed in many ways because, you know, it's touted as a bill to reduce gun violence. And who doesn't want gun violence reduced? But is this the best path to take? I don't think it is. Just like in Measure 110, you know, it was touted to be a addiction treatment bill. But if you read the full text of both Measure 114 and 110, there are so many other things that are included in that people don't realize that was part of the bill, like the decriminalization of some pretty significant drugs in 110, heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, fentanyl, etc. Those are all wrapped up into that bill. And it really took the our ability to have any accountability or to compel someone into treatment. And much like here in Measure 114, you know, if you look at the full text of the bill, which is several pages long, I think it's 11 pages long, you know, it strips away a person's Second Amendment right to protect themselves. And the courts have many times over spoke directly to the constitutionality of various gun bills, and this is no different. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's a sheriff's duty in every county in this state and nation to uphold their oath of office that they will support the Constitution and make sure that people are not harmed from it. And in reality, there's only a couple components of the bill that have some criminal penalty associated to that, and that is, going through a process or the 10 round capacity issue with the magazines. That's really the only thing that can be held where a person could be held accountable. But, you know, not only do you have the Second Amendment, but you also have the Fourth Amendment that gives you the right to be safe and secure in your home and papers in person. And so, as far as like going door to door saying, hey, we're here to check your magazines, that's never, ever going to happen under my watch. And so the bill is flawed in so many different ways. You know, at the end of the day, the Second Amendment gives the person the right to bear arms. Those rights cannot be infringed on. Again, it's been argued in the courts up to the Supreme Court. And just earlier this year, it was argued up in New York. And Supreme Court came back and said to New York that you cannot do this. I think there's a lot of feelings that the same will happen here. But, you know, the what gets me about that is how much time it takes from this day forward for the Supreme Court to actually hear this matter. You know, and then a lot of folks will start talking about, well, I think it's a really good idea to do background checks. Well, yes, we already do that. Anytime someone walks into a gun shop in Oregon, they have to go through a background check. This measure does not develop or make another hyper background check. It's the same background check that has been in place for many, many years. And so the bill does not create a better tool, I guess you could say. Again, the other side of this measure, it doesn't go to the heart of the issue. It only impacts law-abiding citizens and their right to protect themselves. Bad guys, they operate in darkness and around the system with, and that will continue, and they'll continue to do that. There's many ways that somehow they get their hands on firearms. From my perspective, I think it would have been better if they would have gone through or put forth a measure to hold these offenders more accountable for illegal possession of firearms. We've got to get out in front of this addiction and mental health issue in the state of Oregon. That's, you have to go after the root causes instead of the bill touting that the firearm is the cause of these, pretty dramatic and traumatic type events that have taken place. I know I spoke with Douglas County Sheriff John Hanlon, and, you know, that was the site in his county of Umpqua and the shooting that took place there, and he's of the same opinion. This does not get us where we need to get. And I know here in Umatilla County, the measure was soundly defeated. Something, I think it was 17, unofficially 17,603 no votes to 6,015 yes votes. And so that sends a clear message that the way Eastern Oregon and more of the rural counties feel about this measure. And it's a sad day when, the folks down on the west side of the state are the ones that drive policy for the rest of us. And it's just not a good environment for rural counties, especially given the fact that we are rural. And so sometimes that property owner and gun owner is the only line of defense to protect themselves and their families. And I know at the Oregon State Sheriff's Association level, we met on Monday of this week and again yesterday to discuss this. And I think the feeling from the majority of the sheriffs are is that we will not be enforcing the components, the criminal components of the bill. Now, one of the things that we are mindful of is we don't want to stand in the way of somebody being able to purchase a firearm. So we are going to participate in helping the Oregon State Police develop their permitting database that's outlined in the measure. We already do much of this work at the sheriff's level anyway on the concealed handgun license licensing and the background associated backgrounds. And the measure actually sort of mirrors most of the language that is in the concealed handgun licensing process. And so the only addition to that is the requirement for demonstration and of proficiency with a firearm, safely loading, unloading, live fire, et cetera. And so we've got to look at ways of making sure that that there is resources available to the public for that. And I don't know what that's going to look like yet. I know that there's some feelings out there that some of the private entities that currently provide concealed handgun license training requirements, you know, the requirements to be sort of up to date on the legal matters associated to possessing firearms, all of that stuff can be done electronically for the most part, or these in-person classes that are around Umatilla County, but the proficiency side of it is going to be the challenge, I think. And at the end of the day, are we going to be stripping some of our valuable resources away from our response units to criminal matters around the county to address some of these issues? And, you know, where I feel is because the bill isn't just specific to the sheriff's offices, it's also incorporates OSP and local police departments. So how can a small one or two man department, like, say, for instance, Pilot Rock, how can they go through this process and get up to speed? And you know, they're going to have to pull one of their two patrol deputies over to address these issues that are outlined in the measure. And you know, we've had some very, very robust conversations about that, but our feeling is that it will strip some valuable resources from the duties that they have to address this measure and comply with it. Again, as I said earlier, I don't want my office to stand in the way of somebody legally purchasing firearms, bottom line. And so we're going to have to look at this, and we're kind of in a conundrum because, you know, on one side of it, we have to consider the Second Amendment issues that are associated to it and the Fourth Amendment issues, and then also not stand in the way of somebody being able to move forward on this.
And that was what I was curious about. Well, several questions, but, you know, what type of burden does Measure 114 place on your office and local police departments? And I think you had explained that. And is it an unfunded mandate?
It virtually is. I mean, there's a funding piece to it prior to the ballots going out and whatnot, Oregon State Sheriff's Association, along with cooperation from Oregon State Police and others, we put together a sort of a financial impact statement relating to it. And we estimated this first year of implementation would cost about $50 million. The $65 that is collected to address this is will cover maybe a third of it, about $19 million. And so, again, you're going to be pulling your valuable resources away from our response units to be able to perform this task. I think that there is some hope through our conversations this week. There are a few groups that are looking at that are signaling that they intend to appeal the measure. And there also is some hope that a stay will be issued until some of these legal issues are sorted out. And both times we met this week, we all are in agreement that there are way more questions than answers at this point. And but I want our public here in Umatilla County to know that I will not be enforcing the parts of the measure that are criminal in nature or framed criminal in nature. And so that's the challenges that we're faced with today. We'll continue to try to move forward. And I'm sure, you know, we've already created a collaboration with Oregon State Police, Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police, and the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, and created sort of a executive committee to address this, along with some subcommittees that will kind of break down the measure and take it piece by piece and see if we can answer some of those unanswered questions.
And can you think of anything the Oregon legislature can do to make the measure easier to live with?
You know, I recall back when Measure 110 passed, and we had some very robust conversation about that, and including contacting our lobbyist and other attorneys and saying, when it's a voter-passed initiative, the legislation really doesn't have a palette for making changes. But my argument to that is they do it all the time. Measure 11 as an example. That was a bill that made significant penalties that for those that violate the law, especially in person crime arena, where there's mandatory minimum sentencing, and they've been chipping away at that for the last 10 years, 15 years. And so I don't see why they can't. They obviously have done that in the past on a voter and passed initiative. And so I don't see why we can't do it now. And, you know, of course, the long session is coming up. I'm sure that they're going to have a lot of things on their plate. And we'll see what happens.
All right. Talking this morning to Terry Rowan, Umatilla County Sheriff. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more after these words.
Catch the Coffee Hour on your phone. Download our free mobile app, My Columbia Basin.
It might be a little tricky to fly in and out of Walla Walla right now with the Alaska Air flight schedule change. But if you like to sleep in and have a relaxing morning before your flight, you will love the midday flight time. You will still have good flight connections at SeaTac for wherever your journey takes you. So, purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and enjoy your flight from the Walla Walla Regional Airport. Need a little more incentive? Free parking. Fly Walla Walla.
Free leaf recycling during the entire month of November. Pendleton Sanitary Service and the City of Pendleton are offering you free recycling for all of your fall leaves at the transfer station, 5500 Northwest Wreath Road, during the month of November. Only leaves are accepted and can be brought in bags, but you must empty the bags. Questions? Contact Pendleton Sanitary Service at 541-276-1271. Free leaf recycling, the month of November. Brought to you by Pendleton Sanitary Service and the City of Pendleton.
This is Brian from Burns Mortuary. Did you know that Oregon law requires other vehicles to yield the right-of-way to a funeral procession, and drivers are required to stop at intersections and allow a procession to pass? Other vehicles may not drive between or join the funeral procession. It's the law, and it's also the right thing to do. Thanks for doing your part in the funeral procession safety. Burns Mortuary of Pendleton, serving Umatilla, Union, and Grant counties for over 80 years.
Do you love giving your friends holiday cookies and pies, but never seem to get your dishes back? Stop by the Community Thrift Shop and find bakeware, plates and platters, even china sets for your holiday gifting. Unique pieces arrive daily, so stop in often. You'll find the perfect holiday pieces to complement your baking masterpieces. The Community Thrift Shop is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Court Street in downtown Pendleton. Proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop support Heritage Station Museum.
Grab the kids and head to Wild Horse Resort and Casino for Pins and Pizza. Now offering family packages Monday through Thursday. $50 before 6 p.m. and $55 after 6 p.m. Package includes 90 minutes of bowling, shoe rentals, one large pizza with up to three toppings, and one pitcher of soda. The package is good for up to six people. Plus, in the arcade, you can get bonus credits when you spend $20 or more. Reserve your lane for Pins and Pizza family package. Available Monday through Thursday. Online at wildhorseresort.com.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Umatilla County Sheriff Terry Rowan. We were talking beginning of this program about Measure 114. Then there's Measure 112. It sounds good to eliminate slavery from the Constitution, but we understand that could have consequences for jails. Tell us about those.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first and foremost, I would never condone slavery or involuntary servitude as is spelled out in the measure. I think that, again, folks that frame these don't clearly think about it and the unintended consequences of these type of measures that come out. And for jails, we were really concerned. The Oregon State Sheriff's Association and myself were concerned, but when I really started looking at the language of the measure, you know, it talks about involuntary servitude. And I think it's that involuntary component that is that we have to focus on. We do have inmate workers within our jails. We've got to get our meals out to the inmate population. One or two people can't do that. We have to have a crew do that. We have laundry workers that, you know, wash the bedding, the uniforms that the inmates wear, et cetera. But And then we have floor workers that, you know, make sure that the gel is clean and sanitized. And so, but all of those, there is a payment in return in good time. And they volunteer for that program. We don't force it on them. You know, we put it out. If they want to serve in that capacity, they're more than welcome to. But where I was really concerned was any reformative programs that we ask the MA population to go through, that was of concern. But I think my concerns have been laid to rest after reading the full measure. I don't think it was intended for county jails. I think, you know, at the end of the day, there is this ideal. Nobody condones slavery or involuntary servitude. And so in that regard, I don't think we have anything to worry about.
And again, does OSSA have any plans about trying to weaken this measure?
You know, I think our position is coming from our legal counsel at OSSA. You know, we may have to just make sure that on the forms where when inmates sign up for those programs, that it is a voluntary program and that they can quit at any time. And so I just really don't think that there's going to be any impact to our facility anyway.
All right. Well, we got a couple minutes left here. Talk about the jail renovation. How's it going?
It's going really well. I'm told that by the end of this month or maybe the first week into December, they'll have most of the hard construction done, walls built, doors in, that sort of thing. And then from there, it's more that running the various lines for door controls, intercom systems, and more of that finished type work. And so I'll be thankful to stop hearing all of the drilling and the destruction component of it, but because it just kind of rattles through the building under our feet. So I'm looking forward to that. But and I'm also looking forward to this project coming to a conclusion, and we can open up our population numbers back up again. We've been trying to hold our population down to around 125. Just so we can safely get this project done.
Talk about staffing, and I mean at the jail and the patrol division in dispatch.
Yeah, we have five openings in dispatch, five openings in our jail, and three openings in our patrol division. So a total of 13 open unfilled positions. Was it yesterday? On the 15th, we did pick up a patrol position, Travis McMasters, who had worked for Pendleton Police Department. He's a lateral transfer over, left law enforcement for just a short period of time, and we're thankful that he's on board with us and look forward to his service with our citizens of Umatilla County.
All right, last question. We're heading into the holidays. Give people quickly some advice about how to protect their porches or their vehicles from having Christmas gifts stolen.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest issues that's going to come up. Just schedule those deliveries for when somebody's going to be there, or have a trusted family member or neighbor come and pick those packages up. And then if you do have something, another thing that a lot of people are going to are these various video systems. I don't want to tout one system over another because I really don't know, but those are very helpful in drawing those to a conclusion. And then be watchful. That's probably the biggest thing, is don't close those blinds. Keep those blinds open. Watch your neighbors. Watch out for one another. And if you see something that's suspicious, that makes you raise an eyebrow, don't hesitate calling it in. Somebody strange in the neighborhood, get a vehicle information. If you can get a license plate, call that in to the sheriff's office or local police department. Let them know.
All right. Good advice. And I appreciate you taking the time this morning to join us here on the KUMA Coffee Hour. My guest again, Umatilla County Sheriff Terry Rowan. We'll talk to you again real soon. And with that, that's going to do it for this edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. Be safe out there.
depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.